Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
It's Absolute Radio Country. I'm Baylen Leonard, and my guest today, he's one of country music's most celebrated artists. Over the last two decades, he's won 3 Grammys, 14 CMA Awards, and he's had more number one singles than I can count. A bunch. He's had a bunch. He's back in the UK headlining C2C, and he's got a brand new album on the way. Brad Paisley, welcome back.
Hi.
The last time we spoke, we were talking about the new album that was on the way. We were talking about that you wanted to come back soon, and now here we are, C2C, right around the corner. No stranger to it. I've seen you a couple times at C2C. 2014, 2017, I think. One of those times I actually cried in the audience because it was early on to me being a Tennessee boy, being in the UK and suddenly realizing that there was a whole scene here, and it was like, oh, I found my people. And now you're coming back.
Yeah, this is such the amazing event. I mean, I think we were on one of the earliest, and it's just become a monster. And it's, I'm thrilled to be doing this again. And it's my favorite, I can say this, it's my favorite gigs ever.
And you've done some gigs, so that's a big statement.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about these towns over there. I mean, I don't know, they're just so absolutely hungry for country music in a way that we'd have to starve people of it over here to feel the same way. There's just too much of it. And
yeah,
and you know, you go over there and it's just they're ready for anything you want to play, and it's really cool. And over here I feel like they're pickier. They're like, No. We want the that old stuff.
So much better online. So much better online, bro.
No, yeah, exactly.
I mean, we are really open over here, I have to say. And also, you know, it's only recently that we're getting like a regular dose of country music kind of throughout the year, not just at C2C or some of the bigger events, but throughout the year, lots of touring and stuff like that. So I think it comes from, like you're saying, just people being hungry for it and so excited that you guys make the effort. Because let's be honest, Brad, not everybody does make the effort to come over here because of a variety of reasons, you know, monetary or otherwise.
No, you're totally right. It's interesting how receptive you guys are to this, because so much of what we do is regional, or it's kind of an inside joke a little bit, and a big inside joke that sort of happens within the continental US. But the terms we use, the things we talk about, you know, they're
I see what you mean. Yeah, the references.
You know, yeah, no, exactly. Like, you know, mud on the tires is, I remember the first time I ever played over there thinking, I even asked, do you guys do this? And they're like, not really. But they want the fantasy of it. In the same way, when you go to something, like if you went to a Jimmy Buffett concert, or he came to your, you know how this is, if he comes to Indiana, everybody's dressed in flower shirts and, you know, flip-flops. They're pretending they're at the beach. And it's, I think when we come over there and you see the cowboy hats, I would imagine they don't wear those normally. You know what I mean?
I mean, yes, particularly the pink ones with feathers. Those are special occasions only.
Well, that's all up and down Broadway and Nashville, and it's kind of ridiculous what's happening here. But
yes,
you've been back lately.
But I have been back. I was over in November.
Yeah, no, it's it'll cure you.
I get what you're saying, because I think I've been in the UK now for decades, but when country music first started being a thing, and I kind of turned, you know, decided, oh, actually I miss country music, I thought I got away from it on the other side of the world, but actually I miss a little bit of my home, and started getting back into it again. There was an element of cosplay almost to it, like you're saying, like, you know, the cowboy boots come out, the cowboy hats come out, the gingham and the plaid shirts and all of that, big belt buckles and all that. But I've certainly noticed recently, and by recently I mean probably 5 years or so, that element is always fun and it's there, but actually it's about the music, really. Like, of course, there's that fun side of it. And like you're saying about references, you know, I used to feel like some of the stuff that I would play on the radio, I would need to explain what this means or what that means. And then I realized, you know what, it doesn't matter, because I grew up watching stuff that was taking place in New York City and I had no idea of what Uptown meant or the Lower East Side or any of that. And I just figured it out. And I think that's the same when it comes to country music. If it's good, there's always going to be stuff that either you dig into and you want to know more about, or that just goes over your head, and that's fine too, because we all appreciate things on so many different levels.
Yeah, I think so too. And also, you know, I've said it all along, like I'm not exotic in America. I'm exotic to the UK. It's like, look at this thing. Look at how he's dressed. Listen to that Telecaster twang. That's unique. You know, and over here, it's kind of like, I don't know.
Dime a dozen.
Yep. Furthest thing from exotic. And, but yeah, you want that. Like, you want to go, you know, it should, the O2 should turn into a honky tonk.
And it does. And it sure does. I know that you like to get around when you're over. I think last time we were talking about how, you know, you're a bit of a Europhile and you love Europe, UK obviously, but Europe in particular. So I'd imagine that's also a nice little benefit of coming over to do something like this, is that you get to spend some time in those places too.
I totally utilize this as a vacation as well. I mean, it's always that. Like, I always bring the family and we hit the town, and I do the whiskey tasting and, you know, Guinness in Ireland, and we plan Germany on this run as well. And, you know, that's beer gardens. And I mean, yes. It's literally like, it's, we are drinking our way through the various cultures, and no, it's fun. It's like, that is what it's about. I'm a big, huge nerd and a fan of European culture. And, I'm not an expert by any means, but my workout shows Rick Steves. I mean, I watch, you know, like I literally, like, seriously, if I'm working out in the gym, I have those all on DVR, and I'll watch, you know, the Inside the English Countryside episode and the, you know, or whatever it might be.
So you're kind of like the reverse of country fans here in some sort of way, because they, you know, they're digging into this culture that they're, you know, weren't necessarily raised in, and the same works there for you coming this way. So that's some synergy.
For sure. And I always, you know, like there's themes in this. Like when I think of the songs, like Southern Comfort Zone is about that. It's about...
That's the one that made me cry, by the way, at C2C.
In one song, it's a love letter to Tennessee and West Virginia and where I'm from. And it's a love letter to Europe and these exotic locales for me, you know, where I go and... Travel is like that. Now, here I am. I sound like a Rick Steves documentary, right?
Let's
now.
Go for it. Yes.
You know, it's like that though. You go at the end of the weeks that I spend in Europe, I will be ready to come home. Mm-hmm. But I can't, you know, in the beginning, I can't wait to get there. And that pull of like, during the pandemic, it was like nobody went anywhere. So you were, you know, it's too much of a good thing. Being at home is a wonderful thing. But when it comes to this and you see what you see, travel does that. It just makes you appreciate where you're from that much more. And it also makes you appreciate the place that you went to if you have a good experience. And I mean, I have my haunts in London and in Scotland and Ireland and the places that are, you know, there's music stores I always go to. There are whiskey shops. I mean, I always hit Milroy's. I always hit, you know, it's like that. There are restaurants that I never miss if I can, you know, and that came from exploring the first few times, you know.
I love being able to go somewhere and having been there, not even a lot of times, but if you've been there more than once or twice, then you do have those places where it gives you a little bit of a foundation then to explore out from there. And also, it's nice to feel like, I always think it's nice to feel like, oh yeah, I know the city. I mean, you know, even if you only know it on the surface, if you've got a few places that you can go to time and again every time you're there, I think it makes it even more special.
It does. It definitely does. And I have, you know, now I have memories. I just have so many memories of bringing my kids over from the time they were young on these various tours. They have places they love to go. Like, I can remember from me and my youngest son back when he was still almost not a toddler, but he was not much older, and walking all the way to the Lego store and all the way to the, you know, and going, you know, holding his hand through traffic and just the sightseeing and the double-decker buses and the, you know, and it's just such a great experience.
And making sure you look the opposite way to you would normally look when crossing the street. Thank God it's printed on the street, right?
Well, that has nothing. I mean, I no, I almost die every time.
Well, you know, it adds a little bit of frisson to the experience, you know, being there at death's door. I think it works the other way as well, you know, because when you were talking about going somewhere and kind of appreciating it and then being ready to go home, for me, it now works the opposite way. Tomorrow I'm flying off to see my family in Tennessee just for a few days. And for me, it works that way. Like, I'm excited to get there, which I never used to be when I first moved away. I would kind of do it out of a sense of responsibility. Now I'm excited to go there and experience it. It sounds a bit weird, but almost through tourist eyes because I haven't lived there for so long. And, you know, look, driving down the road in East Tennessee and seeing mountains everywhere that I look, which I'm just so not used to living in London. And then, you know, after 3 or 4 days, I'm quite ready to get back to London in that way. But it's nice to experience these things through different eyes, even if it's something that you know really well, whether it's London in the UK for you or, you know, going back home for me. I get exactly what you're talking about with that.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, and again, by the end of the trip, I'm ready to be on my farm and in the country and not in the bustle of it all. But
Yeah, and have ice like in your drinks instead of one cube or something like
right, that's exactly right. But
that.
I'll there's things that I miss. These concerts are always worth it. And again, it's just such a unique experience to play for these people that are kind of just discovering it.
Some of them just discovering it. Some of them have been there. I mean, certainly you get into Ireland and Scotland, they've been loving country music for ages. There's been people in the UK and England, of course, who have as well. But not only does it seem to be a real moment here with country music, it seems to be a real moment everywhere for country music, including the States, where country music's always been a thing. But just looking at kind of how, you know, the crossovers are happening and some of the artists and songs that are crossing over and artists that are outside the genre getting into it, it seems like a super exciting time for country music everywhere. Do you feel that in the States or does it just feel the same?
No, you feel it, but I think it's maybe less apparent. I mean, it's a little bit like music in general right now. It's moving so fast. It's like things, it's like, it's weird. They're not taking a year to catch on. They're like, they catch on or they don't. And then it's like, then it's over. And it's like, there's something new. I
Yeah,
don't
the next thing.
know. And in that sense, the genres are blurring a little bit, which is actually good. They've had that right over there for a long time, which is less about has to be considered this or that, because artists are collaborating now that are across. And then there's the, you know, and I've always loved that because everything doesn't have to like fit the parameters of something. And you know, over there, it's largely speaking, I don't know what the criteria would be for considering something country, but
I think
it's
it's more
more
of a
broad.
vibe, you know.
Yeah,
I just think
exactly.
it's, people always ask me and I'm like, well, I don't know. You kind of know it when you hear it. And also it's so broad as well. I always think it's weird when people try and put country in a box because I think, well, would you put rock and roll in a box? Like there's so many different types of rock and they're all still rock. There's lots of different types of country. It's all still country. And also, by the way, if somebody outside of country wants to do a country song, that's great. If it's good, come on in. You know, Beyonce, yeah, sure, no problem there. But also people like, you know, Noah Kahan or Zach Bryan, who probably 10 years ago would not be considered country at all and still aren't straight down the middle country, but certainly they fit under the umbrella.
Well, that's where you guys have all, in some ways, almost a clearer picture than we do. Like, you know, because our charts are interestingly restrictive. You know, they have the litmus test a little more. You know, like I was talking to somebody about Jason Isbell the other day. It's not really considered a country artist at all, but I would imagine over there, you guys would say, no, that's exactly what he is.
He fits. Yeah, he fits. I mean, we also have Americana, and he was just over at the Americana Awards as well. He fits into that. Although, you know, people love to argue about it. And certainly in the past week, there's been a lot of arguments about it.
Yeah, no. I'm thrilled to be coming over there to play at this time, you know, in all of this. It's just such a great and refreshing thing, because all any argument about that and any argument about music is going to evaporate in front of these audiences. It's just the best and most healthy thing you can see is this crazy group of Brits that are
doing the Mona Conga.
Doing that. That's what I need to see. Can't wait.
And what I'm hearing from you is that we are getting a cover of Texas Hold'em from Brad Paisley at CTC.
Did you? Yeah, I don't know where you're. Okay.
I'm just saying, that's what I heard.
All right.
Just before I let you go, Son of the Mountains, we talked about this a little bit the last time. You had released So Many Summers from it, which we loved. You've released a couple more songs now. One that actually punched me in the guts was The Medicine Will, because I think that you and I spoke about this, the opioid crisis, both where I'm from, East Tennessee and Southwest Virginia, and where you're from in West Virginia. It hits really hard, this song. I think you were saying that you're not shying away from these real life situations going on in America on this new album. Is that just because you felt like you couldn't anymore? You know, because there's a lot of artists that are from these areas or have been touched even personally by this stuff and just choose not to. And that's fine, too. But, you know, some people really dig into this. And is that because you just want to give it a platform? You want to try and change what's going on? You want to give it a voice?
I don't know. I think as I was trying to figure out what to write, you know, and I'm still in the middle of sort of writing and creating right now. And you start to just, it's like almost like at this time is what I write is deciding the direction more so than me saying, okay, here's the direction.
Right.
You know, and that's just something like that song came about because of what's going on up there. And wrote that based on what we're seeing, you know, and this horrifying experience in these Appalachian areas that are just, you know, devastated. And so it's sort of like that is such a, like you said, it's a gut punch, but it's such a an impactful part of what I've done so far for this record that it does influence the direction. And so that led to some other things. It's like, well, what else can we write about? One of my favorite tracks on the record that you haven't heard yet is about depression. And it's an interesting, it's with the rock band Dawes.
Oh yeah.
They're my backing band on it, and co-wrote it with Taylor, their lead singer. And he's a genius, by the way. And so they're the band, and Taylor's a lead player. And so we do twin electrics in it. And it's this 5-minute sort of study in terms of, like, you know, there's not many songs where you are not sure why you feel the way you feel and can't control it. Now, usually it's here's what happened and here's how I feel. She left and I'm blue. You know, this song is essentially, I don't know what's wrong with me. And that perspective, and melodically it's very haunting. And that's a thing that I was like, I want to write about that, because that's happening a lot. That's another epidemic. That's the pandemic after the pandemic, really, you know, mental stuff. And
oh yeah, mental health is something. The station, we take it, we talk about it. Hearing people talk about it, particularly people like yourself or people that other people look up to and think, oh, they've got it all going on, you know, it's all fine. How could they be affected by anything? I think it's so important that people talk about, you know, it's okay to not be okay. And it's also okay to not know why you don't feel okay. Because like you were saying, it used to be, if it ever was talked about, and it was very rarely talked about, it would be a cause and effect situation. And it's so good now that we can say, actually, I don't know the cause. You know, I don't know why I feel this way. So I look forward to hearing that. And thank you for talking about that on the album, because I think that will affect a lot of people.
Yeah, there's things like that. And you know, and in the record, there's the... you know, stylistically too, there's a use of Appalachian sort of instruments. And that's the fun part too, is like directionally with something like The Medicine Will or Son of the Mountains, some of that grassy influence comes out, because I was just raised around that. And that's full circle, because that came from the UK.
That's of course. That
as did the name Paisley. So, yes. You know, all of a sudden, all these people immigrate to our country, dig the coal, power the country, bring their music. And then all of a sudden, here we are back playing this music that we have, taken and changed a bit, but added to and stolen from you. And then we come back and we put on big festivals and you're like, look at this crazy music they've come up with.
Yeah, where's my pink cowboy hat? I got to go hear some of this.
Which is all just us trying to be you.
Well, I look forward to you bringing it back home to the UK. And it's always a pleasure to see you. Thank you for having a chat with us. And we're going to see you real soon.
I can't wait. And we're going to have a blast. I can't wait to see. The thing that happens there that doesn't happen in America is that entire audience starts jumping up and down. The bounce to the beat. I don't know why we haven't caught on. Even at our festivals, it doesn't look like that. And
does it not?
No, they don't do, you know, it's not this.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, we have a long history of that. It's more worrying when you're somewhere in kind of like a 100-year-old theater and you're in the balcony doing that. And you think, but I've done that as well. But, you know, anyway, it'll be fine at the O2. It's a solid structure.
Yeah, well, I think it's concrete floor. We're good.
Yeah, we're good. All right, Brad, good to see you. I'll see you real soon.
Can't wait. Thank you.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk Podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.